Well, praise the Lord, everyone.
Praise the Lord.
It's wonderful to be here tonight. It's exciting to be here tonight, and we are very excited that tonight we will be baptizing Neil and Kim. We're very excited, as I mentioned previously. But praise the Lord, it's wonderful to be here, and we're going to sing some songs for a while, worship God. It's a wonderful thing to do, and then of course we will have our Wednesday night Bible study as usual. But of course, before we do anything, before we sing one song, before we read even one verse, we do need to pray. So we're going to do that right now. Father in heaven, we come before thee in prayer this night, seeking thy guidance, thy direction, asking, O God, for a move of thy spirit, asking for thy blessing on thy service here tonight, asking, O God, that thou wast do a work in our hearts, inspire us to truly worship thee in spirit and in truth. For we know, O God, that thou seekest us to worship thee. And we pray, Lord, that thou wast be with us, guide and direct this service in everything that we do here this night. We pray this in the name of the Lord Jesus, in the power of thy saving blood. Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, it seems like it would be a good thing to start with number 157 in the chorus book tonight. Open our eyes, Lord. Open our eyes, Lord. We want to see Jesus. To reach out and touch Him and say that we love Him. Open our ears, Lord, and help us to open our eyes, Lord. We want to see Jesus, to reach out and touch Him and say that we love Him. Open our ears, Lord, and help us to listen. Open our eyes, Lord. We want to see Jesus. Open our eyes, Lord. We want to see Jesus, to reach out and touch Him and say that we love Him. Open our ears, Lord, and help us to Well, why don't we go to number 76 and sing Reach Out and Touch the Lord.
Reach out and touch the Lord as He passes by. You will find He's not too busy to hear your heart's cry. He is passing by this moment, your needs to supply. Reach out and touch the Lord as He passes by. Reach out and touch the Lord as He passes by. You will find He's not too busy to hear your heart's cry. He is passing by this moment, your needs to supply. Reach out and touch the Lord as He passes by. Reach out and touch the Lord as He passes by. You will find He's not too busy to hear your heart's cry. He is passing by this moment, your needs to supply. Reach out and touch the Lord as He passes by. Praise the Lord.
Well, we're going to switch now to the Melodies of Praise hymnal. We're going to go to number 163, I Need Thee Every Hour. I need Thee every hour, most gracious Lord. No tender voice like Thine can peace afford. I need Thee, oh I need Thee, every hour I need Thee. Oh bless me now, my Savior, I come to Thee. I need Thee every hour, stay Thou nearby. Temptations lose their power when Thou art nigh. I need Thee, oh I need Thee, every hour I need Thee. Oh bless me now, my Savior, I come to Thee. I need Thee every hour, in joy or pain. Come quickly and abide, for life is vain. I need Thee, oh I need Thee, every hour I need Thee. Oh bless me now, my Savior, I come to Thee. I need Thee every hour, most holy One. Oh, make me thine indeed, thou blessed Son. I need thee, oh, I need thee, every hour I need thee. Oh, bless me now, my Savior, I come to thee. I need thee, oh, I need thee, every hour I need thee. Oh, bless me now, my Savior, I come to thee. Go to number 127 and sing Jesus Paid It All.
Thank you, Lord.
I hear the Savior say, my strength indeed is small. Child of weakness, watch and pray, find in me thine all in all. Jesus paid it all, all to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain, he washed it white as snow. Lord, now indeed I find thy power, and thine alone can change the leprous spots and melt the heart of stone. Jesus paid it all to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain, he washed it white as snow. For nothing good have I, whereby thy grace to claim. I'll wash my garments white in the blood of Calvary's Lamb. Jesus paid it all to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain, he washed it white as snow. And when before the throne I stand in him complete, Jesus died my soul to save, my lips shall still repeat. Jesus paid it all to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain, he washed it white as snow. Jesus paid it all to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain, he washed it white as snow. Thank you. Why don't we go to number 324 and sing, I Surrender All.
Yeah.
273 and sing At the Cross. Alas, and did my Savior bleed, and did my Sovereign die? Would he devote that sacred head for such a worm as I? At the cross, at the cross, where I first saw the light, and the burden of my heart rolled away. It was there by faith I received my sight, and now I am happy all the day. Was it for crime that I have done? He groaned upon the tree. Amazing pity, grace unknown, and love beyond degree. At the cross, at the cross, where I first saw the light, and the burden of my heart rolled away. It was there by faith I received my sight, and now I am happy all the day. Well might the sun in darkness hide, and shut his glory thin, when Christ the mighty Maker died for man the creature's sin. At the cross, at the cross, where I first saw the light, and the burden of my heart rolled away. It was there by faith I received my sight, and now I am happy all the day. What drops of grief can ne'er repay the debt of love I owe? Here, Lord,
give myself away. Yes, all that I can do. At the cross, at the cross, where I first saw the light, and the burden of my heart rolled away. It was there by faith I received my sight, and now I am happy all the day. At the cross, at the cross, where I first saw the light, and the burden of my heart rolled away. It was there by faith I received my sight, and now I am happy all the day.
Well, I think what we'll do now is take up the collection. Father in heaven, we thank thee this night for these tithes, these gifts, these offerings. We thank thee, O God, that thou hast been with us, helped us, and blessed us. For we know, O God, that we would be completely lost and helpless without thee. And we thank thee, O God, for thy mercy and thy grace and thy sustaining power. We ask, O God, for thy wisdom on how these funds should be used for the purpose of thy kingdom, for the glory of thy name. For we know that these funds belong to thee. And we pray, O God, that thou hast blessed the givers here tonight, and also bless those who are unable to give. In the name of the Lord Jesus, through the power of thy saving blood, amen. Praise the Lord. Well, we're going to try a new song tonight. I've never sang this before, but I keep seeing it in a book, and I'd really like to try it. Number 5, I will sing the wondrous story.
Crystal sea. I was bruised, but Jesus healed me. Pain was
waters at my feet. Then he'll bear me safely over where the loved ones I shall meet. Yes, I'll sing the wondrous story of the Christ who died for me. Sing it with the saints in glory, gathered by the crystal sea. Yes, I'll sing the wondrous story of the Christ who died for me. Sing it with the saints in glory, gathered by the crystal sea. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah. Well, it's always exciting to sing new songs, and may not be perfect the first time, but we'll keep practicing that because I really enjoyed it. Praise God. And with that thought in mind, we will turn things over to Shirley and see what she has to say tonight. Praise God.
Praise the Lord. Just a little flock here tonight. Praise the Lord. Sandwich of surprises. Oh. I never knew that song either. Praise the Lord, but what a wonderful song. You know, we have a wonderful story to sing. You know, what God has done for us. And, you know, we're happy now. But, wow, when we stand before the throne, we stand before God and realize we've been forgiven. And there's no more standing sin. And it's all covered by His blood. I mean, there's nothing, you know, nothing that can compare with that. Just think what Jesus has done for us, that we might be His, that we might be saved, you know, that we might have His righteousness. It's nothing that we could do of ourselves. It's nothing that we could earn. And, you know, it just wells up within me, you know, just to think what He's done already, you know. But, you know, that moment is coming. That moment is coming when we're going to stand before Him. It's sooner than most people think. They're not thinking of that quite often, very often. Maybe never, you know, maybe they've never even considered it. But that moment is coming, and wow, what is going to mean at that moment to be right with God? Oh, to have our sins taken care of by the blood of Jesus Christ. It's going to mean everything. Going to mean everything. There's going to be no words for it, really. You know, there's hardly any words for it now, just, you know, to think what He's done for us, and the hope that we have inside, and, you know, the fact that we can go to Him. You know, there's hardly no words for it now, but that moment when we see Him and we stand before Him, oh, we're going to be so thankful. You know, we're not going to mind that we had to go through a couple little hard things, you know. We're not going to mind at that moment. It's all going to be worth it when we see Jesus. Amen. Praise the Lord. Oh, Heavenly Father, we just thank You, Lord, for this happy night, Lord. God, I thank You for Kim and Neil, and I thank You, Lord, oh God, that they come here, Lord. They come here to be baptized in Your name, Lord. And I just pray, O Lord, that you would move mightily, Lord. Oh, God, I pray, O Lord, that your presence would be here. God, that you'd come down and touch us, Lord. Oh, God, for we're poor and needy, God. We can do nothing without you, Lord. Oh, God, we would stand naked in your sight, Lord, except that thou hast clothed us with your garment of righteousness, that pure linen, Lord, that you've given us, O Lord, that, O Lord, we might be dressed in your sight, Lord. We, oh God, might have righteousness to show, Lord, your righteousness. Oh God, we thank you, Lord. We thank you for what you've done and what you're going to do, Lord. We thank you that you're here tonight, Lord. God, we thank you that we come before you, Lord. We can come before you, Lord. Oh God, we can give you our hearts and we can surrender our lives to you, Lord. We can give it to you, Jesus. Oh God, we pray that you'd be here, Lord. You move in our hearts, God. I pray that you move with our dear friends online, God. I pray that your presence would be here, Lord Jesus. And God, we pray for those that have great needs tonight, Lord. You know the needs of your people, Lord. Oh, God, and I pray that thou would move, Lord. Pray that you'd keep Sharon on the way, Lord, as she's coming here, Lord. I pray that you keep her. I pray that you keep my brother Chung, Lord. I pray that you keep him, Lord, as he gets ready to come here, Lord Jesus. Oh, God, I pray that you move, Lord. You know the needs, God. You know those that are in desperate need of you, Lord. I pray that you would talk, Lord. I pray that you would move, Lord. I pray that you would save, Lord Jesus. Oh, God, for we could do nothing without you, Lord. We pray that you'd help us, Lord. Oh, God, poor, needy as we are, Lord Jesus. We come before you, Lord. We ask that you'd bind, oh Lord, every unclean spirit, every spirit of doubt, every spirit of fear, everything of apprehension. Lord, we come against it in the name of Jesus. Oh Lord, we rebuke the devil and any of his tactics, Lord. And we come before you in Jesus' name. We bind the strong man in the name of Jesus and we take hold of eternal life. We ask you to be here, Lord. To move in hearts, that you keep us, Lord, that you talk to us, Lord, oh God. Oh God, we can do nothing but of thee, Lord Jesus, but with thy help, Lord. I pray, oh Lord, that you'd help me, Lord, as minister here tonight, Lord, that you have your way, Lord. You speak to us, Lord, and oh God, that your will would be done, Lord, that you do a wonderful work here tonight. Oh Lord, and those that hear this message, I pray, oh Lord, that you'd move in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord Jesus. God is great and greatly to be praised. Amen. Oh, praise the Lord. Oh, praise God. We're going to go to Jeremiah tonight to start with. Jeremiah 23 for just a little portion of time here. And I'm going to call this the New and Living Way. I hope the Lord will get through this and pray that the Lord will give us what we have need of here. Praise the Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Okay, we're going to begin with the first verse here in Jeremiah 23 and read a little bit and go to another chapter. You'll see how God does this here tonight. Verse 1, Woe be unto the pastors that destroy and scatter the sheep of my pasture, saith the Lord. Therefore thus saith the Lord God of Israel against the pastors that feed my people. Ye have scattered my flock and driven them away, and have not visited them. Behold, I will visit upon you the evil of your doings, saith the Lord. And I will gather the remnant of my flock out of all countries whither I have driven them, and will bring them again to their folds, and they shall be fruitful and increase. And I will set up shepherds over them which shall feed them, and they shall fear no more, nor be dismayed, neither shall they be lacking, saith the Lord. Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will raise unto David a righteous branch, and a king shall reign and prosper, and shall execute judgment and justice in the earth. In his days Judah shall be saved, and Israel shall dwell safely, and this is his name whereby he shall be called, the Lord our righteousness. Oh, praise the Lord. I'm going to stop right there. And, of course, it begins with, you know, a woe unto those pastors that mislead the people, that destroy the people, that scatter the sheep of the pasture. And, you know, these days, we see that all over the place. You know, we know that almost everything that comes over the pulpit is not of God. It's man's philosophies. It may be a social religion of sorts. And, you know, it's maybe from another version of the Bible. And you know, it's here a little and there a little distortion. You know, it's taken this and taken that from God's Word. And it's not good, is it? It's not good, because deception is a horrendous thing. It's a dreadful thing. It's an awful thing. And I would not want to be God. I would not be one of these pastors and have to stand before God and listen to what God would say to me. And here he is reprimanding these pastors. They've scattered the flocks. They've driven away. They had not visited them. Well, God was going to revenge them for that. He was going to visit them for the evil of their doings. But yet our God is sovereign, and yet he has a people in spite of all the deception, in spite of all the false leaders and pastors and prophets and all of that. God still has a people, and he knows how to call. He knows how to lead. He knows how to direct. And God's going to gather a remnant. He's gathering a remnant even now. Oh yes, we may be scattered. We may be here and there, and there may seem like there's hardly any of us, but God knows how to call us. He knows how to get our attention, and he knows how to gather his remnant. And those that were driven out, of course, of Judah and Israel, when they were taken away, he knew how to bring those back that were his. He knew how to do that so that they could be restored, so that they could come back, so that they could be fruitful, and so that they could again increase. And here's a prophet promise that he gave them here in verse 4, that he was going to set up shepherds over them, true shepherds, shepherds that would feed them, and the people wouldn't have to fear, because these were people of God that had a love for the truth, and it was hidden in their heart, and they feared the Lord, so that they feared to say anything that was contrary to God's word. It talks about these shepherds that God would put over his people that would feed his sheep, so that they would have to fear or be dismayed or even be lacking, say the Lord. And of course, it goes on in verse 5 to identify this time. It would be a time when he'd raise unto David a righteous branch. A king shall reign and prosper and shall execute judgment and justice in the earth. And of course, that was the Lord Jesus Christ when he came to this world, of the seed of David. And he came. He was that righteous branch, that extension. He was that arm of God that came to seek and to save that which was lost. And so he did come. He did come. And what a difference it has made. What a difference it has made. I'd like to now go to Jeremiah, the third chapter here. And let's look at verse 14 here as we begin in Jeremiah, the third chapter. Verse 14, "Turn, O backsliding children, saith the Lord, for I married unto you, and I will take you one of a city and two of a family, and I will bring you to Zion." There's the Lord calling out to his people. And sometimes it's a few of us. It might not be a whole family. It might not be a whole people in a city. It says here, take one of a city and two of a family. And it says, I will bring you to Zion. That's talking about the church of the living God, that Zion that is above. Verse 15 says, and I will give you pastors according to my heart, which shall feed you with knowledge and understanding. And it shall come to pass, when you be multiplied and increased in the land, in those days, saith the Lord, they shall no more say, the ark of the covenant of the Lord, neither shall it come to mind, neither shall they remember it, neither shall they visit it, neither shall that be done any more. At that time they shall call Jerusalem the throne of the Lord, and all the nations shall be gathered unto it, to the name of the Lord, to Jerusalem. Neither shall they walk any more after the imagination of their evil heart. In those days the house of Judah shall walk with the house of Israel, and they shall come together out of the land of the north to the land that I have given for inheritance unto your fathers. So here we're talking about a new period of time, another day that was set apart from the old covenant, when things would change, when the Lord would bring forth a new covenant in his blood. And at this time, they would no longer have to say the Ark of the Covenant. They would no longer regard it. They wouldn't even remember it, or they wouldn't want to visit it, because that ark would no longer be needed. That ark was so important under the old covenant. It represented the presence of the Lord. It was such a sacred thing. It was such a holy thing. And, you know, they had to use such care. Not everybody could see that ark. It was hidden behind the veil, a thick veil that covered the holy place from the holiest of holy, and only the high priest could enter in, and he had to do it very particularly, you know, exactly as the Lord had decreed. He had bells and pomegranates on the rim of his garments, so that if he decided to do anything his own way or not according to the ways of the Lord, he would be dead. The Lord would kill him. It had to be very exact as he put the blood upon the horns of the altar and handled that most important detail, because that high priest, when he entered into that holiest of holy, that place that represented the presence of the Lord, when he entered there once a year, he was atoning for the sins of the people. Something that needed to be done, something that was very desperately needed, because sin separates us from God, and they needed that. They needed that forgiveness. He would have to atone for his own sin and then the sins of the people. And there was quite the procedure. It was, you know, quite the steps that he had to do, and it had to be done, as I said, very exactly and in order. But the Lord would come down also. His presence was in that Ark of the Covenant that was behind the veil. And the presence of the Lord would come down and minister to the people. It was such a significant article and so needful at that time period under the Old Covenant. But here in Jeremiah, the fifth chapter, we're talking about a time period when that ark would no longer be significant. It would no longer be needed, because something greater has happened. Something to take its place. Something truly wonderful that the Lord our God would do, and he did do. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I'm going to go now to Hebrews, the ninth chapter. And we see in the book of Hebrews the great difference that Jesus Christ made when he came to this world, the price that he paid for us, and the gift that he gave us. And there's no greater gift than what he has done for us. So let's look at this ninth chapter of Hebrews here. It tells us in verse 1, then verily the first covenant had also ordinances of divine service, and a worldly sanctuary. For there was a tabernacle made, the first wherein was a candlestick, and the table, and the showbread, which is called the sanctuary. And these were all very important articles. And you know, we know that that candlestick was to, you know, continually be lit, and there was to be showbread on the table continuously, and it was all extremely important and significant. And then it tells us, and after the second veil, the tabernacle, which is called the holiest of all. And inside that special place, it tells us in verse 4, which had the golden censer and the ark of the covenant overlaid round about with gold, wherein was a golden pot that had manna, and Aaron's rod that budded, and the tables of the covenant. And then, to depict the mercy of the Lord, over it the cherubims of glory shadowing the mercy seat, of which we cannot now speak particularly. Now when these things were thus ordained, the priest went always into the first tabernacle, accomplishing the service of God. But into the second, speaking of the holiest of holy, went the high priest alone once every year, not without blood, which he offered for himself and for the heirs of the people. The Holy Ghost, this signifying that the way into the holiest of all was not yet made manifest, while as the first tabernacle was yet standing, which was a figure for the time then present, in which were offered both gifts and sacrifices that could not make him that did the service perfect as pertaining to the conscience, which stood only in meats and drinks and divers washings and carnal ordinances imposed on them until the time of Reformation. But praise the Lord, there was a time when this was reformed, and it was because Jesus Christ, God robed in flesh, came to this world, coming to seek and to save those that were lost, coming to make atonement for sin, coming to reform us, to change us, to alter us, to give us hope, to bring us to God, to restore that which had been lost, to restore the fellowship, the separation that sin had made there in the beginning when Adam and Eve lost that precious fellowship with God, when they were driven out of the garden, when sin came into this world. All of those wonderful, precious things had been lost with the origins of sin when it came into this world. And Jesus came, though, to make atonement, to give us hope, to restore, to bring back that which had been taken away. And here it tells us in verse 11, but Christ, being come and high priest of good things to come, by a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is to say, not of this building, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood, he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. And then it explains, for if the blood of bulls and of goats and the ashes of a heifer sprinkling the unclean sanctifieth to the purifying of the flesh, yes, it did to an extent. It did to a portion. You know that blood was significant for the sins that had been committed in that year. So it sanctified to the purifying of the flesh to an extent. But how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? And for this cause he is a mediator of the New Testament, that by means of death, for the redemption of the transgressions that were under the first testament, they which are called might receive the promise of eternal inheritance. For where a testament is, there must also of necessity be the death of the testator. For a testament is of force after men are dead. Otherwise, it is of no strength at all while the testator liveth. You see, it was going to take death in order to bring forth a new covenant. It couldn't be done without the death of a testator. It explains in verse 18, whereupon neither the first testament was dedicated without blood. We know under that first covenant, blood was sprinkled everywhere. It took the blood of a creature to bring them repentance. It took that blood to bring them forgiveness. And it tells us in verse 19, for when Moses had spoken every precept to all the people according to the law, he took the blood of calves and of goats with water and scarlet wool and hyssop and sprinkled both the book and all the people, saying, this is the blood of the testament which God hath enjoined unto you. Moreover, he sprinkled with blood both the tabernacle and all the vessels of the ministry. And almost all things are by the law purged with blood. And without shedding of blood is no remission. That's simply what it took. It could not have been done without blood if they would have refused to kill an animal in order to atone for sin. There would have been no remission of sins. It took the shedding of blood. There was no other way. It wasn't an easy thing to do. But yet it was absolutely essential under the old covenant. Verse 23 tells us, it was therefore necessary that the pattern of things in the heavens should be purified with these, but the heavenly things themselves with better sacrifices than these. For Christ is not entered into the holy places made with hands, which are the figures of the true, but into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God for us. Nor yet that he should offer himself often, as a high priest entered into the holy place every year with blood of others. For then must he often have suffered since the foundation of the world. But now once in the end of the world hath he appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. And notice how often that word once is mentioned. You know, there are religions that seem to think that you have to, shed blood every day. You know, it just seems that, you know, that there are religions that crucify the Son of God, the Lord Jesus, afresh, daily, all the time, frequently, because that's the only way they can think, that it has to be done again and again and again to take away sin. But God had a better plan than that, didn't he? Oh, God had a perfect plan. You know, he was going to take away that old covenant, that was not perfect, that old covenant that could not fully take away sins. Oh, the need to go in year after year to atone for sin, that need for the high priest to go in after the shedding of blood and to anoint all those articles, to put blood on all the vessels of the ministry and, you know, on all the furniture, all of those things upon the people. There was a complete need for blood to be shed. But thank God there was a plan. There was a plan that God brought forth, a perfect, wonderful plan, a new and living way that Jesus brought forth so that we wouldn't have to atone for our sins, so that we wouldn't have to have a priest go before us and take care of it. We wouldn't have to bring a creature so that we could be forgiven and attain forgiveness that way. And praise the Lord for that. It tells us, again, in verse 24, reading it again, for Christ is not entered into the holy places made with hands, which are the figures of the true, but into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God for us. Nor yet that he should offer himself often, as a high priest entered into the holy place every year with blood of others. For then must he often have suffered since the foundation of the world. But now once, in the end of the world, hath he appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. And you know, God didn't go cheap. He didn't send somebody else, you know, to take his place and to make a sacrifice for him. God didn't do that. No, God put on flesh. He robed himself in flesh so that he could come to this world and live under his law and live and die for us so that he could bring forth a new covenant in his blood, a perfect covenant that would be once and for all. It would be final. There would be no more need after that was completed. And what a precious thing it is. It tells us in verse 28. Or let's do 27 first. And as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this the judgment, so Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many, and unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation. What a wonderful thing. Because if we've given our lives to the Lord, if we've surrendered to the Lord, we've gone down in the waters of baptism in the name of Jesus for the remission of sins, there's no more price for sin. It's been taken care of. Our sin is gone. It's been washed away in the blood of Jesus. And we can stand before him, therefore. We can have access to his throne. We can come before him because it's been dissolved. We've been washed in his blood. It's been taken care of. The first covenant was just a shadow of things that should come. Every article had significance, but it was all pointing to Jesus. It was all pointing to a covenant that would be more perfect. It was pointing to a perfect covenant. So we would no longer have to say the Ark of the Covenant. We would no longer have to ponder it. We would no longer have to wait for those special times when the high priest would go beyond that veil to atone for our sin. We would not have to worry and ponder and wait for him to come out and, you know, hope that he didn't do anything wrong so, you know, no mistakes were made and, you know, a problem occurring. It was all over. The Lamb of God came to take away sins. Oh, yes. John the Baptist recognized him. The Lamb of God. He could tell that was the one that he had been sent before to prepare the way. He knew that. It was the Lamb of God. Behold, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. He knew that. And praise the Lord. He entered in within that veil. And the wonderful things that happened at Calvary. Oh, it's nothing to dismiss. It's nothing to take lightly. Because a price was paid on that cross, a price for our sin. So that one day, those that look for him, he's going to appear the second time. Without sin unto salvation, those whose sins have been atoned by the blood of the Lamb, he's going to appear for his people. He's going to come and take back that which he's claimed, that which he has bought, that which he has purchased, those that have been sealed, that Holy Spirit of promise. Praise the Lord. Chapter 10 here in Hebrews goes on to explain even more. It tells us in the first verse that the law, having a shadow of good things to come, and not the very image of the things, can never with those sacrifices which they offered year by year continually make the comers thereunto perfect. For then would they not have ceased to be offered? If it was perfect, then they wouldn't have had to do it again and again and again. Because that the worshippers, once purged, should have had no more conscience of sins. It would have been complete. It would have been over. They wouldn't have had to do it again and again. But in those sacrifices, there is a remembrance, again, made of sins every year. Every year they had to, you know, contemplate. They had to, you know, settle it in their heart. They had to get right every year. It was up again. And they had to go again to that place that sin had to be taken care of. It tells us in verse 4 in this chapter, "For it is not possible that the blood of bulls and of goats should take away sins. Wherefore, when he cometh into the world, he saith, Sacrifice and offering thou wouldest not, but a body thou hast prepared me. In burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin thou hast had no pleasure. Then said I, Lo, I come. In the volume of the book it is written of me, to do thy will, O God." Oh yes, it was prophesied there in Psalms, the 40th chapter. God knew it had been predestinated that he was going to come and take away sin. Above when he said, "Sacrifice and offering and burnt offerings and offering for sin thou wouldest not, neither hast pleasure therein, which are offered by the law." Then said he, "Lo, I come to do thy will, O God. He taketh away the first, that he may establish the second." He was going to bring forth that new covenant in his blood, by the which will we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. A permanent covenant, one that would take away sin entirely. And it tells us, "And every priest standeth daily ministering and offering oftentimes the same sacrifices, which can never take away sins." It was so imperfect. But the plan of God. "But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of God, from henceforth expecting till his enemies be made his footstool. For by one offering he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified," those that are made holy by the blood of Jesus Christ. He's perfected them through that sanctification, "whereof the Holy Ghost also is a witness to us. For after that he said before, This is a covenant that I will make with them after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my laws into their hearts, and in their minds will I write them, and their sins and iniquities will I remember no more." Praise the Lord, that's finality. And it says, "Now where remission of these is, there is no more offering for sin." See, it's repeated over and over and over again. There's no more atonement for sin. There's no more offering for sin. There's nothing we can do to perfect that which is done. But yet, we live in a time period, don't we, where there are people that want to go back to the old, that seem to have not realized or recognized what Jesus Christ did on the cross. Yes, they have not acknowledged him as Lord and Savior for the most part, though even some Christians seem to think that we're going to go back to the old covenant. We're going to go back to the old temple sort of thing. We're going to go back to the atonement of killing animals so that sin can be taken care of. But it's over. It was complete. It was perfected. And it's been done. And there's no more offering for sin. There is nothing we can do. It's been paid in full. And you can't go back. Why would you want to go back? There's no need to go back. And what a wonderful thing it is, because Jesus, when he paid that price for our sin, when he was there on the cross offering himself, I'm just going to go here to Matthew for just a little bit. Matthew 27, when he was there on that cross, there is nothing that could have been done that was greater than that. There was nothing that was greater ever that could take away sin. But there he was on the cross. And he didn't deserve to die that kind of death. They were mocking him. They were reviling him. They were wagging their heads. They were saying, as it tells us in verse 40, "Thou that destroyest the temple and buildest it in 3 days, save thyself. If thou be the Son of God, come down from the cross." And even the religious people. Likewise, also the chief priests mocking him with the scribes and the elders said, "He saved others. Himself he cannot save. If he be the King of Israel, let him now come down from the cross and we will believe him. He trusted in God. Let him deliver him now if he will have him. For he said, I am the Son of God." And it says the thieves also which were crucified with him cast the same in his teeth. But we do know that one of them did turn to Jesus and ask that he would be remembered and realize that he deserved to die, but Jesus Christ did not. And Jesus did forgive him. And then that darkness took over. It tells us in verse 45, "Now from the sixth hour there was darkness over all the land until the ninth hour." About the ninth hour, Jesus cried with a loud voice, saying, "Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani," that is to say, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" It wasn't easy to be on that cross. You know, he who knew no sin was bearing our sin for us. God hates sin. And at that point, when he took that sin upon himself, the Spirit of God forsook him. Because God cannot bear sin. And it must have been so hard, so difficult to endure all that, to know this is why he came into the world. But what a moment, what a price he was paying. There could have been nothing to compare to what he was doing there on the cross, taking away our sin, bearing it all himself that we might be forgiven, that we might come to him, that we might know what it's like to have eternal life and to receive of his Spirit. You know, just briefly turning to Psalm 69, it explains some of the deepness, some of the thoughts that were, you know, going, the things that were going on there as Jesus hung on the cross, these prophetic utterances. We look at verse 17, Psalm 69. "And hide not thy face from thy servant, for I am in trouble. Hear me speedily. Draw nigh unto my soul and redeem it. Deliver me because of mine enemies. Thou hast known my reproach and my shame and my dishonor. Mine adversaries are all before me. Reproach hath broken my heart, and I am full of heaviness. And I looked for some to take pity, but there was none, and for comforters, but I found none. They gave me also gall for my meat, and in my thirst they gave me vinegar to drink." Oh, what heaviness. What moments as Jesus Christ was there on the cross taking our sins. They were mocking him. They were jeering. And, you know, he was human. He had flesh just like we do. And at that moment, he could have had pity if there was just someone there. But they were jeering. They were mocking. They were ridiculing him. It says there were none to take pity. And for comforters, but I found none. And then, you know, with that extreme hunger, they gave me also gall for my meat. Bitter gall that they gave him. And in my thirst, they gave me vinegar to drink. Nothing to really quench the thirst. Oh, so thirsty. Dying there. Taking our sins. He could have called 12 legions of angels. He could have been spared. He could have gotten off that cross. He didn't have to do it. But there was a love that is deeper than anything we could ever know. There was a love for a people that needed forgiveness, and people that had no hope. And he was having mercy on us. He was having mercy on his people. And also what he was doing, he was bringing forth a new covenant. He was going to bring forth a new covenant that would bring us to God. And as he was on that cross, crying, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Oh yes, it tells us back here in Matthew, some of them that stood there when they heard that said, this man calleth for Elias. And straightway one of them ran and took a sponge and filled it with vinegar, put it on a reed and gave him to drink. The rest said, let us see whether Elias will come to save him. They're just looking at him. And Jesus, when he had cried again with a loud voice, yielded up the ghost. Oh, there was a time it was finished. It had been completed. The salvation that needed to be wrought was wrought. And at that time, it tells us in verse 51, and behold, the veil of the temple was rent in twain from the top to the bottom. And the earth did quake, and the rocks rent, and the graves were opened, and many bodies of the saints which slept arose and came out of the graves after his resurrection and went into the holy city and appeared unto many. And it tells us about the centurion who was watching and observing, and they that were with him watching Jesus saw the earthquake and those things that were done. They feared greatly, saying, truly this was the Son of God. Some did recognize it. But as he was crying, as he was giving up the ghost, as darkness was upon this earth, this deep darkness was upon the earth, there was a veil, this thick veil that had separated the holy place from the holiest of holies. There in the temple, something happened as a new covenant was being brought forth, as Jesus was poured out there on the cross, as he was bringing forth salvation. That new covenant was coming forth. And that veil that had been in the temple, that veil that had separated, again, the holy place from the holiest of holy, it was rent in twain. It was rent in half from the top to the bottom. That great thick veil was rent. God was renting that veil. Because, you know, it would no longer be necessary to go behind that veil. The priest would no longer have to go behind that veil to atone for sin. They would not have to go behind there make that kind of atonement. Jesus had done it. He had taken care of it. They would no longer have to cry the Ark of the Covenant. They would no longer have to hope for salvation because that veil was rent. That veil was rent, that thing that had separated us. Now it was possible for us to go into that holiest of holy. Oh, God was going to send forth his Spirit. He was going to put his law in our inward parts. He was going to make us his sons and daughters. He was bringing forth his children there on the cross so that we could go directly to God, so that we could be his sons and daughters. As it tells us in Hebrews, the 10th chapters, this is a covenant that I will make with them after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my laws into their hearts, and in their minds will I write them, and their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. And of course, no. Where remission of these is, there is no more offering for sin. And what has it done? It tells us in verse 19 here in Hebrews 10, having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way which he hath consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, his flesh, and having a high priest over the house of God. Let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Oh, thank God. There's a living way now. Oh, it's been consecrated for us through the veil, because that veil was ripped, because it was torn in half from the top to the bottom. It no longer do we have to worry about another making atonement for us. We don't have to worry about sacrifices of bulls and goats and heifers and all that sort of thing. It's been done. It's been completed. There's a living way now. And praise the Lord, we can go directly to God. We can go to Him and know that He has mercy, that He has grace. And it tells us how that we can draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure waters. Oh, what a wonderful thing it is, because He made a way for us. We come to Him in repentance, don't we? We acknowledge our sin and our need for a Savior. We come to Him. We humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God. We give ourselves to Him. We surrender our will to God. And then we are commanded to go down in the waters of baptism for the remission of sins, those pure waters that He has allowed that we could be sprinkled from our evil conscience, so one day we could stand before God and know that we are forgiven. You know, it mentions this in 1 Peter, the 3rd chapter. There in the 20th verse, it's talking about how that ark that Noah built, oh, that ark that only a few people got into, only 8. That ark that he built, they had waited a long time. It took them a long time to build it. And I'm sure they were ridiculed. They were mocked. You know, people must have thought they were nuts, building a great big huge ark, sealing it with pitch and all that, gathering all the animals and all the food that was needed, all the efforts that were made it over those years. But yet that ark saved them, didn't it? That ark saved them. It saved them by the water, because they were lifted up above the waters as the fountains of the deep were opened up, the rains fell, as those other people perished in those waters. That door was closed. The one door to the ark was closed. And no one could get on once that door was closed. And it tells us in verse 21 of 1 Peter 3, the like figure whereunto even baptism doth also now save us, not the putting away of the filth of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience toward God by the resurrection of Jesus Christ, who is gone into heaven and is on the right hand of God, angels and authorities and powers being made subject unto Him. That's what those waters of baptism do. You know, it was required of the priests that they would wash in the water before they entered into the tabernacle. It was utterly necessary. If they would have refused to wash themselves in the water there was that laver there, and they had to wash their hands and their feet. They had to be clean. They had to have clean garments on when they entered in there. And if they would have refused, they would have died. They would have died. That's how serious it was for them to be clean. We could see that. Just going quickly here to Exodus, the 30th chapter. It tells us in that chapter, yes, that laver, the Lord spake unto Moses in verse 17, saying, thou shalt also make a laver of brass, and his foot also of brass, to wash withal. Thou shalt put it between the tabernacle of the congregation and the altar. Thou shalt put water therein, for Aaron and his sons shall wash their hands and their feet thereat, When they go into the tabernacle, the congregation, they shall wash with water that they die not. Or when they come near to the altar to minister to burn offerings made by fire unto the Lord, so they shall wash their hands and their feet that they die not. And it shall be a statute for them, forever to them, even to him and to his seed throughout their generations. That's all necessary it was to be clean in the natural sense. And we know the tabernacle was a figure of things to come. Yes, this chapter explains how, you know, Aaron, the high priest, you know, how he would light the lamps at even, burning incense upon it, a perpetual incense before the Lord throughout those generations, their generations there, while that first covenant was in being, when it was in existence. It says, "Ye shall offer no strange incense thereon, nor burnt offering, nor meat offering, neither shall you pour drink offering thereon. And Aaron shall make an atonement upon the horns of it once in a year with the blood of the sin offering of atonements. Once in the year shall they make atonement upon it throughout your generations. It is most holy unto the Lord." Yes, the requirements there. But that's where God met them. That's where God met them under the old covenant. That veil, that is by the Ark of the Testimony, tells us, verse 6, before the mercy seat that is over the testimony, where I will meet with thee. That's where God would meet with his people. That's where the high priest would go in to atone for sin. But it's over. It's over because God, in his mercy toward us, had another plan. It was that precious plan that he brought forth at Calvary when he gave up the ghost. And that veil was ripped in twain. Oh my, when things began to change as he was bringing forth that new covenant in his blood. And as I said, he was bringing forth that new and living way so that we could go down in the waters of baptism for the remission of sins, so those sins would be taken care of, so that one day we can stand before God with a clear conscience and hear him say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter into the joys of my Lord." And not only that, that Ark of the Covenant represented the presence of the Lord. But he made a new and a living way. So that there's a promise that's given us. When we go down in the waters of baptism, we're promised that we would receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. That precious Spirit that was in the Lord Jesus Christ. And all the difference that it makes. "And ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For this promise is unto you and to your children and to all that the Lord our God shall call." Oh, that precious promise that he's given us. Oh, it was the Comforter. It was the Spirit that was in Jesus Christ. And no longer do we need to go before an ark that represented the presence of the Lord. No longer do we have to wait for the presence of the Lord to come down as a manifestation. But he's made a way so we can enter into that veil, that new and living way, so we don't have to be afraid. We don't have to fear. We can come boldly before the throne of grace to obtain mercy, to find help in the time of need. We can go directly to God. Oh, what a wonderful, wonderful gift this is that he has given us. It's a new and living way which he had consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, his flesh. And again, having a high priest over the house of God, he became that high priest, taking care of every aspect, every detail, every need. He is sufficient for it. It is complete. It is fulfilled. And so we can draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Oh, that water of baptism, it's not just water. Well, it is in the sense that it's H2O, but it does something that none else could do. There's that remission of sins when it's done in faith. It's done with a clean heart, a heart that has come before God and been purged, consecrating one's life to the Lord, surrendering one's will and emotions to God, giving it all to the Lord Jesus. Oh, praise the Lord. I thank God for this new and living way. We don't have to go to someone else to find that forgiveness. We don't have to offer the blood of bulls and goats. We don't have to offer a lamb. None of that, because there was one, the perfect Lamb of God, who went before us, who offered himself on the cross of Calvary. Oh, yes. It tells us in 1 Peter, the first chapter, that we were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from our vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but we were redeemed, it tells us, verse 19, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, who barely was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you. Oh, thank the Lord, who by him do believe in God, that raised him up from the dead and gave him glory, that your faith and hope might be in God. Praise the Lord. What a wonderful change has been wrought in our lives since Jesus came into our hearts. What a wonderful, gift we have been given, that new covenant. When he puts that law into our hearts, he writes it on the table of our hearts so that we can know his voice, so that we can hear him as he speaks to us. This is a way, walk in it, when you go to the right hand and when you go to the left. You know, so we can be forgiven our sins and our iniquities. No longer remember. They're gone in that sea of forgetfulness. And praise the Lord, there's something else. We know we have boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus. Oh, wow. You know, what a wonderful thing it is. We don't have to wait for somebody else to go before us to enter in. We can go directly to God. We can go directly to him. We can draw nigh him, to him with a true heart, in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Oh, praise the Lord. What a gift we've been given by our Lord Jesus Christ, that new and living way that we can come directly to God. No longer do we have to worry about the Ark of the Covenant. And no longer, no wonder that Jeremiah prophesied that, you know, no longer that Ark of the Covenant would not be regarded. It would not be remembered. It would not be thought of. It would not be necessary, because that veil was ripped in twain. It was demolished. It was taken down so that we can enter in. We can enter into the holiest of holy. We can stand before God. We can have our sins taken away by his blood. We can come boldly before his throne of grace and mercy and know that he will fill us with that Holy Spirit of promise, that Holy Spirit of promise that he has offered for his children. Oh, what a gift he has given to us. Praise the Lord for what he has done. Let's just here go once to, I believe it's Colossians. Let's go to Galatians. Let's go to Galatians right now. As we get ready to end here tonight, let's look at Galatians, the third chapter here. Verse 13. Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree, that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. How beautiful. It's all been taken care of. It's all been atoned for. We all are children of faith when we come to Jesus Christ. He tells us in verse 27 in this chapter, chapter 3 of Galatians, for as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. And all the things that separated us in the past, if we were Gentiles, all those things are no longer of importance. The things that alienated us in those earlier days are now over. It's all gone. It's all demolished. It says there is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither bond nor free. There is neither male nor female. For you all one in Christ Jesus. And if you be Christ, then are you Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. Oh, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. The Lord took care of every detail. It was the most perfect gift that ever could be given when he took our sins upon the cross and opened up the way, that living way, that new and living way, so that we could enter into that holy place, that holiest of holy place, so we could have direct access to God, so that we could be his sons and daughters, so that that new covenant of his blood could come forth. Oh, what a wonderful gift we have been given. Amen. Praise the Lord. Oh, praise the Lord Jesus. That blessing of Abraham had come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. That's the gift of the Holy Ghost. That gift that he has promised those that come unto him. Thank the Lord. Thank the Lord. Thank the Lord. As I said, as I began, when we stand before God, that moment, and it will happen, there's going to be such gladness of heart. You know, I just don't even know how we could express it, to realize that we can stand before him with a clear conscience and realize all our guilt, all our shame, all our nastiness, all our wicked deeds, all our wicked thoughts, you know, the strangeness that we had, the separation from God, all of that has been taken care of. We've been bought by the blood of Jesus Christ. And thank God, it's a living way, and we have boldness to enter in. We have boldness to stand before him. Not only now, but on that day of judgment. Praise the Lord, because those sins are buried in that sea of forgetfulness. There's just no way to really describe the wonder of it all. That perfect gift, you know, what he did for us on the cross when he took our sins and bore them for us. Thank the Lord. Thank the Lord Jesus. We're going to have a baptism here tonight. We're going to have two baptisms. And you know what a wonderful thing it is. You know, not everybody seems to have that understanding, do they? You know, we see people again and again, and you know, they don't seem to have a clue. But I'm so glad that the Lord has had mercy on us, that he called us when we are yet sinners, that he died for us when we were full of iniquity, hateful, disgusting sin, had all done all those horrendous things. Yet he had mercy on us, and he called us. I remember the night the Lord called me. You know, it was something because you know, before that time, I just thought I'd be different than my mom and dad. You know, I didn't think I wanted to be quite so strange and, you know, be one of those holy rollers and all this and that, you know. And I didn't know, you know, I just... what I needed, I knew what I needed to do, but it just wasn't within me at that, you know, prior to the moment the Lord called me. But that night, you know, when the message was preached all at once, all I knew is I had to come to God. I had to get to that altar. I had to pray. I had to ask Him for forgiveness. It was totally different. And, you know, when I look back, I realized I couldn't do it of myself. It hadn't been within me before that time. It had to be His mercy, His grace all at once, that clear understanding, that desire to come before Him. It was so amazing. I realized it had to be the Lord. It was not of myself at all. It was His calling. And thank God He's called us here tonight. He's called us. We can make that calling in election, sure. You know, it's going to take a few steps, yes. We have to be obedient to that call. We have to come unto Him. We have to surrender our lives. We have to give Him our lives. And praise the Lord, He's made it possible for us to go down in the waters of baptism for the remission of sins, knowing that we shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Thank God. Amen. So it is. And you know, that night that He called me, not only did He give me a recognition of the need that I had for the Lord Jesus, but He filled me with the Holy Ghost too. And I praise the Lord. It was not of any works that I had done, but by His mercy He saved us by the washing of regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Praise the Lord. Next Sunday I was baptized. Thank the Lord. He's so good. Amen. Praise the Lord. Samuel will come. We'll have our baptisms. The gowns are downstairs. I guess I never did get to point them out. Do you know where they are? The gowns downstairs. They're on the door. Yeah. The Lord. Thank you, Jesus.
Well, you know, there's a chorus I'd really like to sing tonight. The only thing is, it doesn't appear to be in the book. But it seems like it would be a very fitting chorus. And I don't know if everybody knows it. And it's been such a long time since we sang it. I don't know if you remember how it goes, but let's exalt that precious name of Jesus.
Okay.
You remember that? Okay, let's try it. Let's exalt that precious name of Jesus and go down in the water in His name. Just as Peter used the keys on the day of Pentecost, it's just the same today. Oh, let's exalt that precious name of Jesus and obey what the Spirit bade Him say.
Repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ, and ye shall receive the Holy Ghost. That precious, let's exalt that precious name of Jesus, and go down in the water in his name. Just as Peter used the keys on the day of Pentecost, it's just the same today. Oh, let's exalt that precious name of Jesus, and obey what the Spirit bade him say. Repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ, and ye shall receive the Holy Ghost. Oh, let's exalt that precious name of Jesus, and go down in the water in his name. Just as Peter used the keys on the day of Pentecost, it's just the same today. Oh, let's exalt that precious name of Jesus, and obey what the Spirit bade him say. Repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ, and ye shall receive the Holy Ghost. Oh, let's exalt that precious name of Jesus, and go down in the water in his name. Just as Peter used the keys on the day of Pentecost, it's just the same today. Oh, let's exalt that precious name of Jesus, and obey what the Spirit bade him say. Repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ, and ye shall receive the Holy Ghost.
Praise the Lord. Well, I think we need to add that one to the book. Praise the Lord. And I guess we'll just wait a few moments for Neil and Kim to get up here and be ready for baptism. Hold your wrist and then plug your nose like this, if that helps, and then just gives me something to hold on to.
Okay.
All right. Neil Pierce, do you confess that Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior?
I do.
And on your confession of faith in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, I now baptize you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ for the remission of all your sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. I just remember when, you know, Brother Neil can start writing to me and all and sharing and you know, they expressed always their desire to be baptized in Jesus' name and filled with the Holy Ghost. And I just remember at the first there, you know, I kept saying it would be a miracle if they could come here.
Mm-hmm.
And here you are.
Yeah.
You know, the Lord is good. He's made a way. You know, he knows how to make way, whether we're in the wilderness or deserts or, you know, in mountains or, you know, whatever, all.
He knows how to help us.
Mm-hmm.
And here we are, yeah. We're here tonight.
Amen.
Well, praise the Lord.
Amen. You know, I think maybe we can pray also after
mm-hmm.
both are baptized.
Okay.
Okay.
Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Thank you, Jesus.
We praise you, Jesus. We worship you, Jesus. We love you, Lord. Oh, we thank you, Lord Jesus. We worship you, Lord. We praise you, Jesus. We worship you, God. Oh, Lord Jesus. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. We give it to you, Lord Jesus. We give it to you, Jesus. We praise you, Lord. Oh, praise you, Lord. Oh, praise you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Praise 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 you, Jesus. We worship you, Lord.
Thank you, Jesus. Oh, we praise you, Jesus.
Thank you,
Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Praise you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord God. We love you, Lord Jesus. We love you, Lord. We love you, Jesus. Oh, let your name be praised. Let it be exalted, God. Oh, Lord, thank you, Jesus. Praise the Lord. Oh, we praise you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, we praise you, Jesus. We thank you, Lord, Jesus. We thank you, Lord. Oh, we worship you, Lord. Oh, we worship you, Jesus. We worship you, Jesus. We worship you, Lord. Oh, thank you, Shah. Oh, praise your name, Jesus. Oh, praise your name, Jesus. Praise your name, Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Oh, we praise you, Jesus. Oh, we praise you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. We worship you, Lord. Oh, we praise you, Jesus. We praise you, Jesus. Oh, we worship you, Jesus. Praise you, Shalom.
Praise
you,
Jesus.
Oh, praise the Lord. Oh, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Stand with us.
Another tongue. We speak to the Lord.
Praise you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. We praise you, Jesus. We love you, Jesus. We worship you, Jesus. Oh, God, we worship you, Lord. We praise you, Jesus. Let me give you a shout, Father. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Praise you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, your promises, Lord. Thank you, God. Praise you, Jesus. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise you, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. We love you, Lord. Oh, we praise you, Jesus. We love you, Lord. We love you, Lord. Praise you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Praise you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Praise you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Oh, we love you, Jesus. Oh, we love you, Jesus. We love you, Lord. You first loved us. We love you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Praise you, Jesus. Let it go. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Praise you, Lord. Thank you, Lord
Jesus.
Thank you, Lord. Such a great salvation, Lord. Lord, to Lord. Oh, thank you, Lord Jesus. Let it go. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Praise you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Praise you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Oh, Lord, we love you, Jesus. Oh, we praise you, Jesus. We love you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, praise your name, Jesus. We love you, Lord. Oh, we love you, Jesus. Oh, praise you, Jesus. Oh, God, we worship you, Lord. We praise you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Shalom.
so great in salvation. Oh, Holy, thank you for the wonder of it all, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Oh, praise your name, Jesus. Oh, Lord, we do worship you, Lord. Oh, God, we do praise you, Jesus. Oh, we do worship you, Lord. Oh, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Yes, thank you, Lord. Oh, that you call on every soul. Yes, oh, Lord Jesus, we thank you, Lord. Praise you, Lord Jesus. Oh, we praise you, Jesus. We thank you, Lord Jesus. We thank you, Lord Jesus. We worship you, Lord. Oh, we praise you, Jesus. We praise you, Jesus. We praise you, Jesus. Oh, praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Oh, praise you, Jesus. Oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Oh, thank you, Lord. You're here, Lord Jesus. You're here, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Oh, we love you, Jesus. Oh, we do praise you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, praise your name, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Praise your name, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Shalom. Oh, praise your name, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Love you, Lord. I love you, Lord. I love you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Oh, praise you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. I can be
Hallelujah, we thank you, Jesus. Oh, we do worship you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord God. Oh, praise you, Lord. Praise you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Praise you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, God. Oh, we love you, Lord. Praise you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, God. Thank you. Oh, thank you, Lord. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Oh, Jesus, oh, you can come back up. Thank you, Lord, for the shock to the life. Praise you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Oh, we worship you, Lord. Oh, praise you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Jesus.
Oh, thank you, God.
Thank you,
Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Lord Jesus.
Yes.
Thank you, Lord God.
Thank you, Lord Jesus.
Praise your name, Jesus.
Praise Jesus.
Thank you, Lord.
Praise
you,
Jesus.
Thank you, Lord.
You are the same.
Thank you.